You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
So we're in James this morning. I'm really excited about James. It's been such an exciting, actually, little letter to go through. And we're getting towards the end of this. I don't know what it's entitled in your Bible. Some of them have a little title at the beginning, a little heading that was put in. Mine says, Two Kinds of Wisdom. So, two kinds of wisdom. I don't know if anybody's got anything different. But actually, if you could ask God for just one thing, what would you ask him? Think for a moment. If you could ask God for just one thing, what would it be? I mean, it's an interesting question. As I became a Christian, I'd never really read the Bible. I knew a few Bible stories. I was the age where you probably got kicked off to Sunday school. The chances are you probably got some of these messages in school. So I knew a little bit about what was the Bible stories, but I didn't have any of the wisdom, the teaching, or any of that sort of stuff. I didn't know necessarily any of that Bible language. But as I drew closer to God in that initial first walk, one of the things I actually asked him is, I want wisdom. Now, how many of you use the word wisdom? Well, who's used the word wisdom this week? It's not a word that I'd ever really used. And actually, to then desire wisdom was quite a strange thing that I found myself asking God for. And as I read through the Gospels for the first time, I remember opening up the Bible for the very first time and reading through the Gospels. And as I got through, there was one particular story that jumps out. And if anybody says to you, what's your favourite verse in the Bible? What's your favourite verse in the Bible, Una? Okay, John 3:16. Fantastic. So people do have one. If you'd asked me, I'd have gone, and I'd have really panicked. Don't ask me. But actually, as I thought about this a little bit more, if you want to flick back into the first gospel there, into Matthew's gospel, Matthew 22, when I read this, I was blown away. You know when you read something, it absolutely floors you. So if you want to look in your Bibles, Matthew 22, verses 15 to 22, it says this. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plan to trap him in his words. So this is the Pharisees, and they're out on a mission to trap Jesus. Matthew 22, 15 to 22. And in verse 16, it says, they sent their disciples, this is the Pharisees, to him along with the Herodians. Teacher, they said, we know that you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. They're flattering him here. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay the poll tax to Caesar or not? I thought this gospel was well up to date because that's when the poll tax had come out and nobody wanted to pay the poll tax. And I'm thinking, wow, should I pay me poll tax? It's even going to tell me about that. And in verse 18, we pick it up, Matthew 22, verse 18, it says, but Jesus, knowing their evil intent, he said this. He said, you hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? He says, show me the coin used for paying the tax. Show me that coin. So they brought him a denarius, and he asked them, whose image is this and whose inscription? Caesar's, they replied. Then Jesus said to them, so give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. When they heard this, they were amazed, so they left him and went away. Now, I don't know why that story jumped out at me, but I just went, whoa. Now, the thing is, before I became a Christian, I had quite a few questions. And if you're here this morning, you've got quite a few questions. Boy, did I give the Christians a hard time. Probably about 18 months, 2 years. Anything they said, I had a question to challenge that. I really, really wanted these guys. I really want to find out, is this really true? And I had lots and lots of questions. Now, I had become a Christian, and I knew people were going to ask me lots and lots of questions. And actually, I know how much I went to try and trap the Christians, you know, give them a clever question and see if you can trap them in that. And here I was, knowing that now I was a Christian, And I this was really important to me, and I wanted people to know this good news. And I didn't want to be trapped in this, because I didn't want to just give them a smart answer. If you look at what it says in verse 22, when those people that were out to trap Jesus, they were going to really trap him, they wanted to trip him up. It says, when they heard this, when he heard his answer, they were amazed, so they left him and they went away. Now, there wasn't a fight that ensued. There wasn't this. There wasn't name calling or anything. They were amazed at this teacher's wisdom. And I think I remember at that time just praying, wow. I just remember as I was first praying, if there was something, Lord, could you give me something? I want wisdom. And I never heard of anybody asking for wisdom. And here was this wisdom. And this kind of wisdom that could diffuse that situation and leave people amazed and not fighting and squabbling. That was the kind of wisdom that I wanted. And I think James asks us that. If you've got your Bibles open, back into James 3, it says right at the beginning, verse 13. James asks the question. He says, who is wise and understanding among you? Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. Now, if you think for a moment how the world describes people, I'm sure you could look at a newspaper or a headline and it would describe people as talented. If they're talented, what have they got? They've got the X factor. Yeah, that could be as I could describe somebody. They could be knowledgeable. They're very intelligent, these people. They're on to their fifth degree, do you know? They're PhD. These guys are they know so much stuff. Or they might be practical. I might be described as practical. I like to build stuff, make stuff. If it can be repaired, that's what I want to do. I like to be practical. And you could say, oh, Darren's a practical person. The thing that I desired, and the thing I don't hear many people say, is when did you last call somebody wise? Now, you might have used the word wise or wisdom in this last week, but when did you last say somebody was wise? It's an interesting thought, isn't it? When did you last say someone was talented? When did you last say they're gifted in this, gifted that? Where does this thing wisdom come in? And I think it's a really interesting question. James 3 said, not many of you should be teachers. That was back at the beginning of chapter 3. But this week, he's talking about those who are wise. And he draws that context out a little bit further, doesn't he? He says, who is wise among you? And then he goes on to say, let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. That's the last part of verse 13 there. So James is saying here, wisdom actually is something that cannot be hidden. If you've got wisdom, Proverbs 17:28 says this. It's quite a good verse. I would have claimed this a few years ago. Even fools are thought wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongues. Now think of that for a moment. Even fools are thought wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongues. A really practical example, when you see a newborn baby, don't you look at them and you go, they look so wise. They look like they know everything, don't they? And then they start walking and talking and you realize, oh, wait a minute, this doesn't quite add up. Someone cannot stay silent if they are wise, is what James is saying. He says they must show it. Matthew 15:16, Jesus' words, he says, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. But the world, I think, has muddied the waters a little bit. What does a good life look like? How would we define a good life nowadays? How would we define what good deeds look like? Now, the TV and the newspapers will tell you what a good life is. They'll tell you what good deeds are. I did actually Google, it doesn't get much better than this, and living the dream. So it doesn't get much better than this. Probably a phrase that you've heard, and some people say, oh boy, you're living the dream. So I put those in to see what might come up as far as adverts were concerned. What's the first one, Morris? Click it again. I think we've got the... There we go. I don't know if you can see that up there. It's the DeLorean. Live the dream. by the DeLorean. I mean, how exciting, this aluminium car. It is down at the Transport Museum, isn't it? I think when you're down there, boy, could you imagine living the dream, driving that car? Wow, you could save up for that, couldn't you? Or what about the other one? What was the other one that I said? It doesn't get much better than this. What have we got? A sofa. There you go. It doesn't get much better than this. Buy this sofa. So there you go. If you want to know how to be really content, buy a DeLorean, a comfy sofa. You'll be living the dream. And, you know, I'll break this. I mean, I got given a sofa the other week, but it just kind of sounds crazy. And don't we sort of break this stuff down to material things? James is saying here the good stuff, the good life is not about stuff. It's not about talking about stuff, but actually it's deeds done in a particular way. So the message last time, it's not just about being knowledgeable, but how you actually apply some of that knowledge by good conduct in meekness, in wisdom. If you remember last week, we were talking about action, faith with action, faith and deeds. Can your faith really save you? If there are no deeds, does it actually work itself out here? So if people are wise, James is saying we should be able to see it. You can't just turn up and keep quiet and go, aren't they wise? They haven't spoken for 30 years. That's rubbish, isn't it? What's the point, you know? Wasted 30 years, maybe. What did the Greeks think? Well, I actually found an article about humility, because it's a funny word, humility. And I found a little article, and it says this. It's well known that humility was not a virtue by the Greco-Roman ethics. In fact, the word meant something like crushed or debased. It was associated with failure and shame. So as James was writing this, when he's talking about humility and wisdom, they're talking about what would have been culturally something that's really like, what was the word, crushed, debased. It was shameful. This is the kind of thing he's talking about. But this article was quite interesting. It was called How Christian Humility Upended the World. And you can read it yourself if you want to. I can point you to it later. But his conclusion was this, and he says, my point is not that Christians alone can be humble. Rather, as a plain historical statement, humility came to be valued in Western culture as a consequence of Christianity's dismantling of all pervasive honor shame of the ancient world. And it's quite interesting, you say, so Christian humility has come in and changed this honor-shame kind of culture. Today, it doesn't matter what your religious views are, and it lists the Christian views, quite interesting. Christian features in there. Oh, sorry, religious views. Christian features in there. Atheist features in there. Of course, Jedi Knight now features when you mention religion most of today. If you are raised in the West, he says, you are likely to think that honor-seeking is actually morally questionable. And lowering yourself, making yourself that little bit lower for the good of others is actually an ethically beautiful thing. We live in a topsy-turvy world, don't we? Live the dream. Buy more stuff. But actually don't stand out from the crowd. Because as soon as you see it, don't you, on the X Factor and that kind of stuff, you know, what an amazing talent. But there's got to be something we can find some dirt about this one. You know what I mean? Let's set them up and then let's just knock them down. So what is this good life all about? Verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. Now, when I ask the question, what do you want from God? Do you seek wisdom? And if not, why not? If you mention the word wisdom, most long-standing believers, those that know some of the scriptures, which person are you going to think of if I say the word wisdom? Solomon. Yeah, he jumps out straight away. And as per my example at the beginning of the message, when I went back and found out about Solomon, I was really excited because, hey, that's what I've been praying. And I didn't know any of this Bible stuff. And I'm like, Lord, I really want wisdom. And look, I found out this chap, Solomon. He didn't demand riches or success or anything else. He wanted wisdom. And out of that wisdom, well, all of this stuff flowed. What have we written up on our wall? What is our motto verse this year? It sounds a bit like that, doesn't it? Sow righteousness for yourselves, and then what do we reap? That fruit of unfailing love. You see, God is speaking to us, and we've written it up on our walls for a good reason this year. Let me ask you the question again. If you could ask God for one thing, what would it be? Let me add to that. What are you sowing? What are you expecting to harvest? What are you sowing? What are you expecting to harvest? The title, as I said in my Bible, it says Two Kinds of Wisdom. If we read through verses 14 to 16, we get our first kind, but actually comes with a warning. It says, but if you harbor, this is verse 14, James 3, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, uses the word demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. It's pretty harsh, isn't it? Two types of wisdom. James is speaking about an earthly wisdom, and he's saying such wisdom here is filled with jealousy or envy or selfish ambition. Do you want what others have? Are you wanting to make a name for yourself? Remember those previous messages? We talked about social media, didn't we? How everybody wants to be an expert nowadays on everything. I've even seen folk, and I genuinely have this week, quoting themselves. They do. And they create, they do, don't they? I mean, it is hilarious. And they make it a nice little package. They write it out, they put their name and they put their date on it, and then you can click a share button and share their wisdom about themselves, quoting themselves online with a picture of themselves. I mean, this is the world that we live in. And James is saying here, verse 15, such wisdom, it doesn't come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual. And he uses the word demonic in there. Now, he could say it's a little harsh. Isn't that just folk talking? Come on, they're just chatting, they're just sharing about themselves. But look, if we live in a world which has got so confused and we're not sharing the good news of God, what are we sharing? What are we sharing? We're not sharing what the Bible says. They're not interested in what folk really think. They're not really interested in other people's opinions. They just want to share their opinion. And James carries on and says, the sort of wisdom that these guys put out there, they start living it out in their lives as well. So they talk rubbish and they start living rubbish as well. You just see how it works out. You see the whole lifestyle, the whole package is there. Verse 16, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. He's laying it out for us. This is one way you can go. It will be about my education, my knowledge, my thoughts, and it will come down to what I want at the end of the day. And as believers, when we live in a world that seems to offer us so much, we can actually find ourselves measuring up against that, can't we? We've all done it. We've all sat there. We've gone on that particular walk, and then you see the young lad with the nice glasses and the nice car, and he's just, you think, how? He's got to be like, what, 18 and a half, and he's a multimillionaire, and he's, you know, and you start going, but, well, why didn't I, well, what about these people? They've got a house, and they've got this, they've got that, and why haven't I haven't got this stuff? And we start measuring ourselves up with this, and I think that lie starts creeping in. There are Christians out there, they want to know how good they are. They want to know how many people have downloaded their podcast this week or looked at their photos or how many followers they have. There's all those things that go on. But James is saying here it's demonic. And I must admit, when I read demonic, I don't know if you saw it, you sat there and went, ooh, demonic, that's a little bit like, you know, a bit strong language. And if you Google demonic, certainly if you do an image search, what do you get? You do get all sorts of grotesque, I'm not putting them up on there, don't all sit there like going, oh, he's going to put a scary picture. But it is, they're all horrible, scary, bloodthirsty, I'm going to chase you down and eat you kind of pictures. They're just horrible and sinister. But actually, what is a demon's primary weapon? It's deception. It is deception. And actually, they could appear as utterly beautiful. You know, I think it's Hollywood that's painted these pictures. They could be utterly beautiful. They're fallen angels, aren't they, at the end of the day? They were once beautiful. So could this so-called earthly wisdom be influenced by demons? And I think, yeah, we only have to look around at some of the things that are going on in our world. We've only got to look at some of the dictators. We've got to look at some of the awful things that governments have done. In their opinion, it was wise. In their opinion, they thought they were doing a good thing. But clearly they weren't. So we've got earthly wisdom and we've got heavenly wisdom. How can we tell the difference? Look in, verse 17, James 3, verse 17. James goes on to say, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit. It's impartial and sincere. And he goes on to say, peacemakers who sow and reap, sow in peace, reap a harvest of righteousness. And again, I think it sounds like our motto verse. If God wants to keep talking to us, what are we doing? Sow righteousness for yourself. Reap the fruit of unfailing love. Break up your unplowed ground, for it's time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers his righteousness on you. And we've got it written up there. I'm really stoked as I was doing this. I'm thinking, wow, Lord, this is exactly what you're saying to us here at Limbrick Woods. So the wisdom that comes from above, that doesn't come from me, you'll find it to be pure, you'll find it to be holy, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy. It will have good fruit. You'll see it working itself out in my lifestyle. There will be no favoritism, as we said at the beginning of James, remember, no favoritism. There will be a lack of hypocrisy. And actually, we'll be transparent before folk. You know, don't come to church because you're perfect and you're good. Come to church because you're broken, because you want to come and you want to meet a God that wants to bring healing into those situations. It becomes not about me and how good I am. It becomes all about God. And guess what? We'll start quoting God. We won't start quoting ourselves. We're just rubbish in that mix. But God and his wisdom is perfect. It is all of those things. So if you could ask God for one thing, would it be wisdom that you seek? Would it be wisdom? Proverbs 18:11 says this, for wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you can desire, nothing in this world can you desire can compare with her. That's just awesome, isn't it? I think that's awesome. So if we lack wisdom, what should we do? Ask for it. Absolutely, Sue. James 1 verse 5, you've been there already. If you lack wisdom, ask God for it. And I think if you remember last year, we were talking about Chasing the Wind. It was a mini-series that we did. It's asking that question again. What are you pursuing? What are you after at the end of the day? Solomon had that answer, didn't he? And God values wisdom. Do we value it? Do we value wisdom? Do we ask God for that wisdom to help us navigate through this life? Good. Jordan, I'm very pleased. So what's the takeaway this week? What are we going to take away? Look, there's going to be an outworking of this in our lives that will affect us, and it will impact others around us. James says at the beginning of the chapter, look at it there in verse 18 as we start to draw to a close. He says, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Peacemakers who sow in peace, they will reap a harvest of righteousness. And as I read that, I don't know about you, I like the Mythbusters. Anybody watch Mythbusters? You can hear these things. They put them out there and they go, okay, well, if this is true, let's go and find out if it really, really works. And one of the things that I actually found was an experiment they did with plants. And they worked out, if you're nice to a plant and you say nice things and you speak love and you think lovely things, this plant will grow into something nice. But if you're horrible and you shout horrible things to this plant, it just withers and dies. And they said, well, does that really work? And it was quite interesting, the experiment. You'd have to go back and watch it. But as I was looking online, and I thought, because I know you like videos, I thought, is there a video that will highlight this? Now, I'm going to play you the video, and you can have a little look, and we'll have a little think about it afterwards. So run that video. A link to this video can be found on our website in the text below. Okay, leave that one there. What's interesting, I went, yeah, right. But a number of people that went, yeah, right, and they follow the comments afterwards went, I tried this for myself, and it kind of had similar results. Whether that's complete rubbish or not, I think all of us get the picture of what's going on there. Because actually, if you speak hateful, horrible things to people and over people, they will feel like that. And if you are somebody here this morning that feels that hate and that negativity has been part of your life, you probably feel actually like that jar on the left. whereas love speaks good things and positive things over people. It builds you up. I don't know if you can think of somebody, just to put another illustration on that, another spin. Can you think of that person that you know that when they come into the room, you go, oh, it's all going to be all right now, they're here. Oh, they're so much fun. Oh, I feel so relaxed about them. I could tell them it's just going to be all fine because they're here. I hope you know somebody like that. Do you know somebody that's that person that you go, oh, no, they're here again. Oh, no, something's died. Oh, no, something's broken. Oh, here we go. Oh, man, oh, I just feel so depressed now. Are they ever going to go? Funny, more people seem to smile and laugh at that one, I think. There you go. The question is, and I suppose it's a good question as we close now, what kind of person are you? Are you that person that comes in and brings that life, that joy, that peace? What are you bursting? What is the overflow of your heart? Is it good stuff or is it negative? And if you're thinking of somebody right now and it's making you smile, pray for them. Which person are you? And the thing is, I think for each and every one of us here, when we look at that, we ask that question, and in of ourselves, we'll all think of something in ourselves that we don't really like. And we probably go, do you know what? I wish I could change that bit. Is that part of me that I can let go? Is there something that you would want to, say, give up? Is there somebody or something you need to forgive? Something you just need to lay down today and say, look, I'm going to lay that down. Maybe just think for a moment, because there's no point me talking and you go away and say, that was lovely, you carried on prattling on. It's got to mean something to you. So just think for a moment, what sort of person are you? And if there's part of you for a moment that you say, I want to give that up, I believe if you ask God this morning, say, show that to me, he'll speak to you. So let's just take a moment. If you want to close your eyes, that's great, but just take a moment to think. I think whatever instantly comes to mind, and I think God is not slow to talk to us. I think whatever instantly comes to mind is what God wants to deal with. Now, I know for some in the room here this morning, we've broken up that unplowed ground. We might be breaking that unplowed ground up, and the seeds are being planted, and we want them to grow. We want that harvest. And for some here this morning, I know you haven't made that step of faith to follow God yet, or to follow him that closely. To take that step of faith, to put our trust in a God who is always good. And through that gift of love, we spoke about that love earlier, we sang about it. When you're in God's presence, I believe everything changes. If you want to think about that positive person, that positive, when you're in God's presence, everything changes. We said right at the beginning, imagine walking into the throne room this morning and God is there. Are your troubles going to be really that important at that moment in time? I think when we take on his perspective, when we take that and we follow him, we find that those things that are weighing us down, they just get left behind. We asked before, what are you saved from? Are you saved from an eternity without him? Are you saved from those things that bring us down to our knees daily? There's two kinds of wisdom. James has spoken about it. There's two ways that we can live. One of those ways is to continue in rebellion against God, and we try and run our lives our own way. This is the way I'm going to do it. And sadly, a lot of people live their lives that way. They think they can work it out for themselves. Well, there are those of us that have realized our situations are pretty hopeless. Actually, in and of myself, I know some of this stuff I'm not going to be able to fix. There's a certain amount I can do, given. But actually, that rebellion against God, it's hopeless. But this morning, the good news is there's a lifeline, there's a hope. If we turn back to God and ask for his mercy, and as the songs that we've sung this morning say, we trust in Jesus' death and his resurrection, then everything changes. That positive person, not just positive, but perfect. and you can step into that relationship with him this morning, everything will change. Everything. And one of the first things God does, he takes that long list of everything that you and I know we've done wrong. And he says, if you want to know why Jesus died, he says he accepts that death, that price, that is payment for that long list, and that list is taken away. The things we've done wrong, the things that have been done wrong to us. And he freely and he completely forgives us. And for those of us that know that power of forgiveness, he forgives us. And we've got to move on from that. And right there, and even right here now, I believe God can pour his Spirit out into our hearts. He can give us a new life, and that new life stretches past death into forever. We're no longer rebellious to God. And this is the cool bit. We're part of God's family. We're part of God's family. His adopted sons and daughters. That's what we become. We live with Jesus as our ruler. And that's the good news. That's the gospel. Look at that wisdom that he had. Pick a Bible up for yourself. Read Jesus' words. Look at his teaching. Look at that wisdom. You will see he speaks good things over us. He speaks love into our lives. And I think just like that rice illustration, we're no longer like the slimy, grotty, yucky, moldy stuff. But we can be pure and beautiful in God's sight. And if you don't feel that this morning, God says, that's what I want to do. I want to forgive you. I want to lift you up. I want to put fine clothes on you. And I want you to be adopted and be known as my son and my daughter because I love you. What an offer. Two ways to live. There couldn't be more different. But you've got that choice this morning. And maybe that rice picture just keeps it in your head. Whether it's true or not, you get the meaning of that grottiness or that goodness. Which way do you want to live? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes just for a moment. If you want to choose to follow God this morning, there's a very simple prayer. It's a very simple prayer, and I'd like to read that prayer. And if you want to say that prayer in your heart as well this morning, then I just got a sense that God says, today is the day of salvation. Today, everything can change. Today, you follow me and you walk in that light, no longer in the darkness. So if you want to pray this prayer, I'll pause over each line and after each line, and you can say that in your heart too. For those that love the Lord, I just love to pray this time and time again. Father, I know that I have broken your laws. My sins have separated me from you. I am truly sorry. And now I want to turn away from my past, from that past sinful life towards you. Please forgive me and help me avoid sinning again. I believe something. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins. But it didn't stop there. He was resurrected from the dead. He is alive and he hears my prayer. And you can do something about that now. You can say these words, I invite Jesus to become Lord of my life, to rule and reign in my heart from this day forwards. And you're not on your own here. You're not on your own. We can ask for God's help. So we say, please send your Holy Spirit to help me obey you. And to do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you could ask God for just one thing this morning, what would it be?
You are listening to an online message from Limbrook Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrook Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.